Session 90, September 21, 1964. The Early Sessions, Volume 3, The Seth Material. Seth: I will here wish you a good evening. Rob: Good evening, Seth. Seth: And open our quiet session. Our last session proved to be a most beneficial one. It was good for Rupert's confidence to hold a session away from home, and before people who, though far from strangers, are nevertheless not closely associated in daily life. It goes without saying that had Rupert known beforehand the subject matter of the session, he would have blocked it. I certainly did not myself press for a session, though I was glad to be of help, as far as the personality about whose problems the session revolved. It was, however, Ida's quite sincere curiosity and her open-minded willingness to perceive that subconsciously caused Rupert to agree to the session. The rapport existing as a rule between twins, and that does indeed exist between Larissa, L-O-R-I-Z-A, and her twin sister, goes far to account for Larissa's latent intuitive but partial inner comprehension of the elements that work within, say, telepathy. Twins use communication of the inner senses all unknowingly, and what Larissa read of the material moved her subconscious to intuitive realization. The communication between twins is freer than it is with others. Twins are more used to using inner communication, and instances come more easily to mind. Rob notes, and here I must admit that although Seth gave the entity name for Bill's wife, Ida, I did not think quickly enough to ask for the entity's name of Ida's twin sister. Jane and I are curious to see if there is any similarity in entity names under such circumstances, and I will make it a point to ask Seth for the name. Seth: I knew that the material was being read. However, I did not feel it wise to make a point of telling you because this knowledge in itself would have set up blocks, and on both of your parts. It is reasonable, logical, and even necessary, at this point, that you do not parade yourselves, giving sessions as one would put on a vaudeville act. Nevertheless, when an honest request is made either to attend a session or to hold a session, and when you know that the person making such a request is sincere, and if other conditions are appropriate, then by all means it would behoove you to meet with the request. I am not suggesting, for example, that 5 sessions or 4 be held in a week at this time, only that sincere requests should not be automatically denied because they do not fall within the scheduled time. And upon such occasions, I will make adjustments when you request them. Rob notes, at this point I begin to sneeze. Hay fever season is not yet over. Unfortunately, I sneezed many times, and Jane paused at intervals to let me catch up on the copy. Seth: Knowledge on your physical plane must be applied in human terms and human values, or the possibility of helping someone else, either through the sort of a session we held last time, or through a more regular session, should not be ignored. Would you like a break? Rob: No. Seth: The last session falls under a category of applied knowledge. I suggest your break. Seth: There must be abstract knowledge and concept before there can be any applied knowledge in real terms. The more philosophic material, or what could almost be called academic material, suits both of you greatly, and is indeed where my own interests mainly lie. However, the human elements must not be ignored, and whatever personal help and inner understanding this material brings to others will incite their intellectual curiosity, and this is all to the good. Nor are the recipients of such help alone benefited, but so are you yourselves. Your personal work, both yours and Rupert's, will benefit whoever sees your paintings or reads Rupert's poetry. It is performed, however, in solitary and divorced. And it must be, from an intimate contact with people. It is only natural that you carry this over into our sessions, preferring that they be held without such contact. This is not only understandable, but in many instances profitable, in that it allows for a diversity of subject matter. I abhor fanaticism of any type, yet I do not feel, myself, that a sincere request under ordinary circumstances should be denied. It is true that conditions were far from ordinary on the evening when Rupert's father and the poor personality of the woman were here, and under such circumstances generally, I would certainly not recommend a session. It was the woman's deep need that would have let me make an exception, and yet I promise you that on no occasion will I try to coerce Rupert into giving a session. By the same token, I will not be coerced ever into giving a session. I hesitate because I am not certain whether or not to discuss the other woman, who is a sister to the twin before mentioned. I would strongly suggest, however, that Zibreth, Z-I-B-R-E-T-H, Louis, notes Rob, about whom the past session revolved, follow the suggestions given them, and also that he do the following. He should take a half hour's brisk walk. This will allow him to use constructively the aggressive energy which does not have outlet. I also suggest, merely as a matter of discipline, that he contemplate his part in the universe, so that he senses an enlargement of self in which personal worries and obsessions will not so large. This next may sound Pollyannish to an extreme, but he should make it a point to help another human being in any small way without expecting thanks 3 times a week. I do not suggest, you see, that he do this on purpose daily, lest it develop psychologically into a self-sacrificial ritual. And I also most strongly suggest that 3 times a week, in a very quiet, disciplined, but positive manner, he makes it a point to express himself when any matters arise where he holds a diverse opinion from the one being presented. The personality is extremely sensitive. It does not take me to see that, and intuitional. It is also very strong, and the personality fears its own strength simply because normal aggressiveness has been denied outlet, and building up of a practice of quietly but firmly expressing his own viewpoints will also help to release the inner pressure. The personality should live alone for a while and work separate from the family establishment. It, the personality, must avoid a rigidity of attitude, for this will not only hamper the native intuition, but serve to divorce the personality from its environment. A balance here is extremely important. There should always be this balance. The personality, being intuitively strong, should apply some of this intuition outward toward other human beings. If solitude is achieved through living alone, then the personality should be able to relate itself outward. A confident ego is indeed a prerequisite for psychic venturing. For it is only the confident ego which ultimately feels secure enough to give leeway to the inner self in the long run. I suggest your break. For safety's sake, a firm relationship between the ego and its environment should be considered a prerequisite for serious or extensive psychic investigation. The ego must have something to come back to. It is extremely important. I do not mean to discourage the personality in his laudable interest in unseen reality. I do want to caution him that first steps must be taken first if his inner goals in this direction are ever to be achieved without unnecessary difficulties for the ego. With such a firm foundation, he will indeed be most successful, and he can achieve such a foundation. Then he can apply inner knowledge to the ego's environment. The feet of the ego, of any ego, must not rest on quicksand, or when the venturing self returns, there will be no sound foundation to receive him. If this sounds difficult, then indeed it is, because I will not deal in platitudes, and the exercise of the inner abilities demand, as a bulk word, the sometimes difficult achievement of an ego that can adapt itself in the outer environment, and so hold its own while the inner self is then freed to go its way. Discipline, then, should not only be considered, as it is by some schools of thought, as a mere mental discipline over the muscles or various portions of the body by the inner self, but indeed a discipline in terms of training of the ego by the inner self, so that the ego, as a personality, achieves a well-balanced relationship with the physical universe. And despite all comments to the contrary, this is by far the most difficult discipline. But without it, the inner self is not secure in its journeys, and is like a boat with no harbor to receive it, and like the man without a country and with no place to return. The personality, to some degree, has been led astray by those who begin such a journey without first making certain of their return. Legitimate, balanced psychic journeys will result in a beneficial effect as far as the ego and its ability to handle its concerns are involved. And whenever such journeyings or investigations result in a lessening of egotistic control over circumstances, then anyone so involved should instantly ask himself questions and abruptly halt. I do not speak here of acquaintances who do not understand the importance of psychic investigation. I speak now of the ego's ability to handle itself. And psychic investigation will and should increase that ability if it is properly begun, and if the ego is properly related to the physical environment. The suggestions given herein, that the mentioned personality live alone, work apart from the family, walk briskly a half hour a day, strike a balance between altruistically helping others and quietly opposing their ideas through expression when he does not agree, are very important. A 15-minute daily meditation period would be excellent for 3 months. Then, 3 weeks of no meditation, a month of half-hour meditation, followed by a week of no meditation, and for a year, a daily schedule of no more than half-hour meditation period. These periods to be regular, however. I suggest that they follow the lines of expansion, rather than contraction, in that the personality projects itself outward toward all that is, hence drawing upon the energy of the universe and extending the reaches of the self. This discipline, however, should be followed rigorously, only with a program of ego orientation, in which the ego tries to discipline itself in the most difficult manner for this particular personality toward freedom. He should express himself when he feels a diverse opinion, when he feels wronged. It is only when aggressions are unexpressed that they are dangerous, and the repressed rage will hold back the desired psychic development. Even chemically, such anger causes reactions that will make desired states of being difficult to achieve. The personality also contains good intellectual capacities, and he should examine psychic experience in the light of his intelligence also. There are truths which the intellect cannot perceive, but the intellect knows the ego and represents a firm and reliable pathway between the inner self and the ego and psychic experience. I repeat, psychic experience will not suffer from such scrutiny. A steady program, such as I have outlined, because of its conditioning routine, will allow the personality a progressive and safe entry into psychic experience that is firm, and will also strengthen the ego in its relation to environment. This is not to suggest that the ego is weak in this case, for it is not, but its ability to relate to others on the physical plane needs strengthening, particularly since the personality is vitally concerned with psychic investigation. I suggest your break. I will end the session shortly. This is material that I would have given if we had had the time in our last session, and for that reason I wanted to give it this evening. We will return to other matters for our next session. I still find you both in excellent overall condition, regardless, dear Joseph, of the hay fever, and we shall take steps before next session to rid you of that. Rupert is coming along well in the gallery situation. You should have a good winter, both of you. If Rupert can stand it, I would suggest a 3-day period after he leaves the gallery, during which he does no writing, perhaps playing about his apartment while instructing his subconscious to work for him in the interval, and completely divorcing his conscious mind from his writing for that period of time. Such a method will result in maximum use of his abilities and more practical utilization of energy. I will now, my two peaches, end the session. It has been most pithy. Soon, very soon, however, after a few important sessions, we shall have to indulge in a bit of humor for variety. Even I am sometimes appalled at my dryness. Bonjour. Good night, Seth. Session 91, September 23, 1964. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I am indeed going to hold a very brief session out of the goodness of my heart and for the sole purpose of letting you know that I do, if only occasionally, give you some time off, and also simply to break up your schedule for the sake of diversity. Rob notes, Jane now gave a quite satisfied smile as she paced about. Seth, I will not here take credit for Rupert's novel outline. However, you must admit, the important inner guts concerning space travel did indeed come from our sessions. He will now, that is, Rupert will now do very well. Rob notes, this we take as a reference to Jane's decision to leave the gallery and concentrate upon a writing career. This is the last week she is to spend at the gallery. Seth, earlier, he was not yet ready for various reasons. It is a particularly splendid autumn evening. You may go to your opening if you prefer, visit Mark's studio, or merely take a walk. In any case, I am through with you this evening. Rob notes, it will be remembered that Mark is the entity name for Bill McDonald, who has witnessed a number of sessions. Bill is in the process, incidentally, of moving out of his parents' home and into a studio and apartment in downtown Elmira, where he is going to live and at the same time maintain an art gallery. It will also be recalled that in several different sessions, Bill was counseled by Seth to live alone, lest he suffer a recurrence of his lung trouble. Seth, to be less facetious, I am giving you a brief session also to let you know that since you did hold an unscheduled session, I will endeavor to equalize whenever situations occur of this sort. I wanted to deal further during our last session with material originating in the unscheduled session. Otherwise, I would have cut the last session. I will not always, of course, necessarily miss a session because of an unscheduled one, since circumstances will always vary. My hearty congratulations that your paintings are being seen now in your friend's establishment, and they will affect many people. It always pains me to speak so briefly and run, however, upon this instance I shall indeed do so, but our sessions this autumn shall be meaty ones, and I hope that you digest them. My most fond good evening. I am amused because Rupert is so surprised. Didn't you know, Rupert, that I could be so magnanimous? Rob, good night, Seth. End at 9:07.